No sign of Mr. Yap. Been a while, Mr. Yap.
Yeah, it's been too long. Good to see you.
Yeah, good to see you. Adventures in Wine.
You've got that thing on.
I have got that thing on. Just getting some ambience. I'm not going to...
And David Chandler. And he is Jason Yap.
Since the pandemic, my clothes don't fit properly anymore. Do you know that feeling? No comment.
Great to see you. This for what is a long overdue reunion.
It is a long overdue reunion, no doubt about it.
Anyway, we're back in the game. We're going to talk today about the 2021 vintage, so the wine harvest in France.
Okay, because
2021 was besieged throughout France, really, but especially in the north, by spring frosts in April. And what they do is they cause big temperature swings, which damages or kills the bud break on the budding fruit.
Mm-hmm.
And overnight can massively reduce the potential size of the crop.
And that's what happened?
That's what happened big time. So it's the smallest grape harvest since 1977. Possibly the smallest grape harvest, aggregate grape harvest, since 1957. And bear in mind, historically, back in the 70s, the area under vine was larger. So it's a hell of a swing.
But was this just in France, as no other wine-producing country suffered from the same?
Well, it varied. But as a general rule, the further north you were and the more white grape varieties you planted, the worse position you were in.
Right.
So Burgundy, very, very hard hit. I'm just back from Burgundy and there's not much wine for sale. And wineries that I can remember 10 years ago being bedecked in publicity had none whatsoever. You'd be lucky to find the doorbell.
So that and Brexit combined.
And we haven't seen
not good for us.
We haven't seen the full impact yet. I mean, I can give you some figures. So you look at Condrieu, one of my favourite appellations in the whole of France, in the Northern Rhone Valley. So it's a specialist white appellation where the Viognier grape is grown. The permitted yield there is 41 hectolitres per hectare, right? The average yield is 37 hectolitres per hectare.
Mm-hmm.
Last year, they harvested at 8 hectolitres per hectare.
Ouch.
And we haven't seen the price impact of that yet, but it's coming like a train.
I'm sure it is, alongside everything else. You know, you couple that with the energy crisis.
Yeah, we're in a pickle.
Yeah.
Okay, and so the aggregate harvest in France, so that's the total country, was a give or take 33 million hectolitres in 2021. And if you look at a relatively prolific vintage like 2018, it was more like 45 million hectolitres. So they lost in total a good quarter of the crop.
Ooh, okay.
But a different impact in different areas. So Burgundy, very, very hard hit. Mm. Burgundy is, you know, entry-level Burgundy now costs over £25 a bottle. And that's if you're bargain hunting.
Mm.
So it's a mixed picture, but it's not universally bad everywhere. So Alsace, which is quite landlocked, on the border with Germany by the Rhine, didn't get so hard hit by frost, but they got stuffed up by mildew. So it was a cooler vintage. Right. So the alcohol levels are lower, which some purists think we're going to see wines that they would term to be more correct, in that they have less obvious heat and climate change impact.
Okay.
But it's more varied, and what is not appearing on the horizon are any lower prices, which is what would help it commercially.
Mm-hmm.
So I've got a friend who specialises in selling Bordeaux, most of which is traded en primeur, and he described it to me as non-primeur, meaning that the market just isn't biting. After a succession of good vintages, there's not much incentive to get your checkbook out unless there's bargains to be had.
Of course.
Conversely, there were during lockdown. So back in 2020, when they were marketing the 2019 vintage, the on-trade was shut. They had a surplus of wine. How are they going to sell it? They discounted it. And everyone was sitting, me included, sitting at home in front of a laptop, bored out of their brains. What are you going to do? You can't go out. You buy some wine.
Of course.
That had a very good impact on our sales figures. So, I mean, I know not everyone benefited from the lockdown, but elements of the wine trade, certainly the fine wine trade, definitely did. So not all bad news. Wasn't bad everywhere. So I spoke to a winemaker from Fougères recently who's saw a 20% increase in volume in 2021.
Okay.
So it's a mistake to generalise too much.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
But it's undeniable volumes are down, and I think it's pretty undeniable that prices are going to go up.
Yeah.
Especially as lots of non-wine costs are going up. So glass is getting more expensive.
Mm-hmm.
Cardboard's getting more expensive. Mm-hmm. Fuel's getting more expensive. Mm-hmm. Labour is getting hard to find.
Mm-hmm.
Brexit not helping matters at all.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a tricky situation.
Yeah.
Happily, though, the wines that were made are pretty good. Relatively cool weather, not too high in alcohol. Some very balanced wines. One thing's always the case. When people have less raw material, they're more careful with it.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you would be. So, with that giving us a bit of context, why don't we try a few things?
Why don't we do that?
I thought we'd kick off with one of my favourites, a Muscadet, with a classic Quentin Blake label, designed in 1985.
I envy that man's ability, you know, to actually just shake that kind of thing just out of his wrist.
So, from Muscadet, the grape is eponymous. Muscadet, the vintage, as discussed, 2021.
Mm-hmm.
Muscadet, because of its northerly location, tends to be quite prone to frost. But this has got two notable things about it. It's both de Sèvres-Maine, so it comes from the sweet spot where the confluence of the tributaries, the Sèvres and the Maine, meet. Mm-hmm. And that's really where the best Muscadet vines are cultivated. And it's Surly, and that means it overwinters on its spent yeast cells, which imparts a little prickle of carbon dioxide. It's where you get that.
Okay, that's how that's done.
Yeah,
all right.
It's where you get... Yeah, people fake it, by, you know, same way they make Coca-Cola, by just zapping carbon dioxide in, but it's not the same. And this is made by Jean-François Baron, who's a fourth-generation winemaker.
Mm-hmm.
And it's got 15 hectares of vines, I think, and really classic Muscadet, which you want to be minerally, quite almost flinty, certainly very dry. That slight crackle of CO2.
A little bit of fruit there.
Yeah, it's got it. It's got a nice, quite savoury fruit. It's not sort of overblown stone fruit. No. It's quite very pale colour. That's what you want. That's really what they're trying to get.
Mmm.
Bit of salinity. Flintiness. This is mm-hmm. really what you're looking for. No oak. What you're really looking for, Muscadet, is that great length. And that finish just goes on and on and on.
Yeah.
And it's not particularly in vogue at the moment. Things like People de Pinay are sort of getting the press lines at the moment. But I love Muscadet. It works really, really well as a spring and summer aperitif, and also with shellfish, particularly oysters.
Yeah, it works quite well at 11 in the morning too, Jason.
It does. It's a pick-me-up.
It's a refresher, no doubt about it. At least, well, first class, isn't it? Way.
But that's a good drop, isn't it? Mm. Right, moving on. White wine number two. We're shifting the geography. This is on organically produced and certified wine from down in the Luberon. It comes from Bonnieure. It's a hill village in the Luberon. And the advantage of that is the vines are grown at altitude and they have subterranean aquifers. It's been a vine area since Roman times,
okay,
which drives the rootstock deep down, and mm-hmm. it's a great antidote to climate change. So
okay.
More and more winemakers I know are trying to offset climate change by concentrating on their oldest rootstock. The deeper the vines go,
right,
the better irrigated they are.
Okay, yeah.
So the older the vine,
mm-hmm.
the better its chances of surviving drought.
Mm-hmm.
Simple as that. So this is made by a father and daughter team, Jean-Pierre and Nathalie Margain. And it's from a blend of Roussan, Marsan, Claret, and Bourbalong. Vinified, underground, in thermoregulated stainless steel vats. And this is an estate that's really well known for making wonderful, very aromatic wines that have great stone fruit characteristics.
That's pale, isn't it?
It is pale, but it's got a marvellous bouquet.
Mm.
It's a beautiful chateau depicted on the label.
Yeah.
But you get this lovely white peach, apricot scent. And a rich, rounded stone fruit palate with a nice long dry finish.
It's
very gastronomic wine. I mean, it just doesn't demand a food accompaniment, but that goes very well with all kinds of seafood, even poultry. Really versatile.
That is quite a delicious sip.
Stop number three on our journey today is a real old favourite of mine. So Tom and I were out in Corsica in 2004. Gosh, that's flown by quickly. And we're in the hill town of Sartène. And we went into a bar that you never would have known was a bar unless you'd seen people going in or out of it. And
I love places like that.
We were served this wine from an earthenware jug. And I gave the patron my business card and asked him if he knew the winemaker. And he said he did. And a couple of weeks later, I heard from Philippe Farinelli, who makes this wine.
Okay.
And we've been importing it very happily ever since. So it's a rosé. It's Domaine Saperal Van der Course, 2021. And it's made from a blend of Vermentino, also known as Roll, and the two Corsican staples, Chacarello and Nerluccio.
All right, okay. So those would be lesser-known grapes anywhere else, though, I imagine.
Yeah, but they're Corsica's got big sort of Provençal, but also Italian influences.
Yeah, the Vermentino is one, isn't it?
Yeah, and this is a real personal favourite. And in Corsica, they don't particularly have to seek out an export market because it's such a popular destination to visit.
Mm.
But we've had a big success with this, and I personally love it. It's a great colour, just that nice coral pink colour.
And just that little bit more forward on the fruit than the whites we tasted, but actually not greatly so.
No, but you've got lovely red currant and rose hip.
Mm.
And it's pretty savoury, but very well balanced, very harmonious one, isn't it? I mean, you can imagine two people really enjoying a bottle of that over lunch with some langoustine or crab. I think it's
it's pretty versatile, I would imagine.
Yeah, and as all three of the wines we've tasted so far, made to drink from release. I mean, it's drinking well on its young fruit.
Yeah.
So 2021 might be a small vintage, but it's certainly not a bad vintage. It's a good drop.
Very, very nice indeed. Can you go over there with Dave Abrams for us?
Yes, Dave Abrams is, or Corsican Dave, as we know. My former next-door neighbour wrote the brilliant Rough Guide to Corsica and introduced me to the Granite Isle and its wine. So,
and he's shortly to have another book published, isn't he? A big, impressive tome on the old mounds, hill forts and burial sites.
Yeah, using predominantly drone shots. He not only is a gifted linguist, but he's a great travel guide and very good photographer.
Very good photographer. Those photographs are just wonderful.
So now we're off really to the centre of France, but it's on the Sioule tributary, which is then attributed to the Loire, which it eventually joins. So this is from Saint-Pourçain. We've been importing this since 1973, when I was 6 years old. So it's got a good long history. A very wacky label. So each year they get a different cartoonist to illuminate the bottle. It's not actually a label. It goes straight on the bottle.
Right.
And if you remember the terrible Charlie Hebdo killings, at least two of the cartoonists were killed during that, were previous illustrators.
Right.
Of this bottle, so it's got significance.
It's one of those things, though, isn't it, Jason, where you think a little bit of humour on the label you feel is not necessarily a good thing?
Ah, well, it's a self-proclaimed Van der Swaff. So it's made to be, which is what, because not many of the 2021 Reds are bottled yet, right?
Right.
And it's made to drink from the get-go, and it's called La Ficelle, which is a reference to the string that the barkeepers used to dip in the jug or the pot they were serving from to denote how much to charge you of how much you'd drunk.
Right. And so, and if you remember, then with the last wine list I illustrated, because I used collage, I actually delineated the bottle with string. Didn't
you
I?
Did, you
I
did.
Used and string and nails.
Very, very, very string. Good.
And it was my favourite image from the entire wine list.
Well, it was a very good one. And at the end, at the bottom of the bottle here, it says, Grand soif, patron une autre. So, so they, I mean, not that we advocate binge drinking, but it's definitely meant as a wine for sharing.
It's not a wine for hanging on to. It's no, a, no, it's but, definitely but, a wine for just...
But not every wine should be.
Working your way through it.
There's...
With good friends, well, with people who will be friends by the time you've got to the bottom of the bottle.
These lighter reds, which I think should be served like this, lightly chilled,
yeah,
12 to 14 yeah. degrees centigrade.
Yeah.
You know, I love Grand Vin, I love pontificating over old Rhone and Bordeaux and you know, crashing on about wines from a decanter. But I think these wines that drink well, youthfully and a good value,
yeah,
let's not forget that. Have an important place in everyone's cellar, really.
It's lovely. It's lovely on the nose, actually, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. It's a very nice bouquet.
It really is redolent of soft summer red fruit, blackcurrant, raspberry. Drinking beautifully, gentlest of tannins.
Yeah.
Almost none.
Yeah.
I mean, people who aren't typical red wine lovers.
Yeah.
Probably get along okay with this.
Yeah, that's the thing. You know, you look at it and think you're going to be getting something rather acidic, and it's anything but.
In Burgundy, traditionalists say it's not a proper Burgundy, when we're talking about red Burgundy here, unless you can read your watch through the wine.
And really?
And I'm happy to tell you that you can read. You can read your watch through this. So,
if you should ever want to. Oh, crikey, is that the time?
Well, I'm trying to bring you some background information as well.
I love it. I love that idea. If you can see the watch through it. Right. What about your Apple Watch then? I suppose you can see your Apple Watch through any wine.
Right. We're concluding with another red from the 2021 vintage. And this is from the Roussillon, and it's made by a former sommelier called Hervé Bizuot, and he produced his first vintage in 1998, having very shrewdly invested in some ancient terraces, really old terraces of highly elevated vines that he had to largely replant.
Okay.
And this is a blend of 50% Syrah, 30% Grenache Noir and 20% Carignan, and it's called Les Sorcières. And I think because he was a sommelier, Hervé aimed this squarely as a wine to be drunk from release. It was made to appeal to the on-trade, and the on-trade establishments tend to lack much cellar space, and they certainly, at the moment, don't have the capital to invest in wine for storing in the long term. So what a great idea to make a wine that drinks really well from release.
Mm-hmm.
Much darker colour than the sample sound.
Yep.
A deep sort of garnet robe there.
Yeah.
And much more concentrated fruit. You've got more autumnal fruit, plum, black fruit.
Yeah, yeah.
And then this deep, rich palate, a little bit of olive, maybe some tapenade. It's earthier, and it's got these fine-grained tannins.
That was a nicely graduated staircase you've presented today, Chris.
Mm. Well, we've been off air for over a year, and I had plenty of time to think about it. And if in doubt, open bottles of wines you know you like.
Why ever not?
You don't have to overthink it. But we've got a good geographical spread from Muscadet through Provence, Corsica, the Auvergne, and the Roussillon. So,
and for this latest harvest, they're doing okay, are they? All the wines we've talked about, or are there going to be shortages of these two? How are they?
There will be a shortfall, but you know, it's not all bad news. What we can report happily, really happily, because when I was out in Burgundy in April, the people were getting very windy about cool temperatures then. But by and large, there will always be exceptions. They've dodged the bullet of spring frosts this year.
Okay.
So The 2022 harvest, who knows what the quality will be like at this juncture, but it will almost certainly be more prolific.
Right. Okay.
That's quite common with any fruit crop, which is why historically it was very rare for people to just specialise in one thing. The idea of mixed farming or polyculture was the norm, because if you grew grapes and kept goats, as the Vatins did in Sancerre until the 1970s, I'm old enough to remember their goats that are long gone.
Some of them were great friends of yours.
Then you were hedged. Whereas now, it's much more specialised, and you get a lot of people who are solely winemakers. But it's really rare, and many gardeners and fruit growers will tell you this, to get two dud vintages in a row.
Okay, yeah.
So the pendulum tends to swing. It can happen, and it has happened, but it's relatively rare. So it tends to be feast and famine, or famine and feast, that way round.
Right, okay. And if I wanted to, say, buy 10 cases of the Saint-Poisson, you'd have it, would you?
Yeah, we've got pretty good stocks. I mean, buying has got more complicated. The lead times are longer, but we're lucky in being, you know, a fairly sizable company. And I'm blessed with very attentive colleagues who are good at the paperwork. And that has got a lot more complicated. We've gone back 25, 30 years.
I don't want to think about it. It's awful.
Anyway, Santé. I hope you agree with me that the 2021 vintage has lots of promise, and is, even if it's limited, it's not too dangerous.
Small but perfectly formed, I think.
There you go. I couldn't have summed it up better myself. Cheers.
Cheers.
More adventures in wine at www.yap.co.uk.